wonderful. We're going to the book of Ruth, as I said this morning, chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 19 through 22, the last four verses of chapter 1 in the book of Ruth. So you find that after you go through the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, a little four-chapter book of Ruth, and you'll find that. Find chapter 1 and, again, verses 19 through 22. Ruth, chapter 1, 19 through 22. We're going to read these together. Pray, and then we'll have a song, and we'll get right into the message this evening. All righty? Ruth, chapter 1. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book, and we're glad to read this scripture here. Would you please join me on the even-numbered verses? Now, verse 19, talking about Ruth and Naomi. So they, too, went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Our Father, would you please take this simple thought tonight from your book and please minister grace to our hearts so that we can receive it. Lord, help us to bring that very fallow, tilled ground to the service tonight, good ground that can receive the good word of God. And I pray that it will bring forth good fruit in our lives. Lord, I pray for every family represented here, every person. Would you help us tonight with these simple thoughts from this passage? Bless the song, the music. May it prepare us, please. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Darkness, miserable and lost, a child of wrath was I. Without hope but only great despair, God heard my desperate cry. Then He granted free forgiveness through the death of His dear Son. He restored my sight and paid my debt, my sinful heart He won. My God is more than enough. From God His wisdom and a mind renewed and strong. He is faithful to sustain me when the weight I cannot bear. He invites me to His throne of grace to bring Him all my care. Though I groan with all creation, He's prepared for me a place where I'll evermore be with Him and behold His blessed face. No more sin or tears or sorrow when the former things are done. God will change me to be like Him in the image of His Son. My God is more than enough. More than enough for me.
appreciate it. Appreciate the people who do the special music here at the church. A lot of practice time goes into these songs. I see them practicing before church, after church, through the afternoon, before church in the evening, and just different people have to get with different pianists. And we don't take that for granted. I appreciate it. I like the music. I like the balance of it. I like the good music that we have. And thank you, not just Tony and Jody, but all you folks who help us with that. That is good. All right, verse number 21 is our text tonight. I went out full. This is Naomi speaking. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I want to ask this question tonight. What does it mean to be full? She said, I went out full. So what does it mean to be full? Dear Father, would you please help us tonight? Would you please speak to our hearts? Thank you that your love is more than enough. God, I pray that your love will be evident in this service tonight, Lord. You'll speak to every heart here. I pray that you'll build us tonight, bond us to each other as a family, husband and wife. Lord, I'll thank you for it. Do a good work in our hearts. We thank you, Jesus, for your book. So help me as I speak it tonight. I pray in Christ's name. And amen. The story of Ruth ends so beautifully that it overshadows some of the sadness that it contains at the beginning. You know the story. Ruth meets Boaz after they return to Bethlehem, Judah, by the divine appointment of God. He redeems her and he marries her. And Ruth ends up in the lineage of Jesus Christ, a Moabite Gentile girl in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing story. Wonderful, wonderful story. However, at the beginning, there is quite a different storyline than at the end, especially with Elimelech and Naomi. Elimelech and Naomi live in Bethlehem, Judah. When you look at all the meanings of the names, it's really incredible. Elimelech means God is my king. Naomi means pleasant. Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread. And Judah means praise. Could it get any better than that? God is my king. Pleasant, house of bread, and praise. Could it get any better? I guess it would have been better if the house of bread had actually had some. But there was a famine in the land, and the house of bread was barren. And the job market was slow. And the finances were tight. And Moab beckoned. It was only about 30 to 60 miles from Bethlehem, Judah. It was over rough terrain, so it would have taken probably 7 to 10 days of travel time by foot or on donkey. It was really not that far. And Elimelech said to his wife and his boys, we'll go to Moab. We won't go down there to live. Go down there to sojourn. And we'll just stay for a while, and then we'll return. Just a few days. But friend, a few days turned into 10 years. 10 years. So they moved, and that's when the trouble set in. Elimelech dies. The two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, die. Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah, who married one of the boys, was a daughter-in-law, returns to her family and to her idols. And then you got verse 16, where Naomi told Ruth, your sister-in-law has gone back to your family. I'm an old woman. I have no more boys. And she said, entreat me not to leave thee, and so forth and so on. Sometimes it's used in weddings, or to return from following for after thee. Whether thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And she said, Naomi, I'm not leaving you. And so Ruth and Naomi traveled back together to Bethlehem, Judah. And the Bible says when they entered the city, the people gathered around and said, is this Naomi? Naomi. You ever gone a long time without seeing somebody and the years of time took its toll on their physical features? Is this Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi, pleasant. She said, call me Mara. It means bitter. And then she said it. She said, I went out full, And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. That's sad, isn't it? That's extremely sad. Now, I want you to notice tonight, for the sake of the message, that by her own testimony, Naomi said, I went out full. So that means when she left Bethlehem, Judah, she was full. So if she was full, what did she have that made her, in retrospect, look back and say, man, I was full? What did she have? What does it mean to be full? A very simple message. Very simple points, three of them. Number one, she had a spouse. She had a husband. Naomi had a husband. Married couples, understand something. Tonight, you are full. With the one you've got. You're full. How many people in the world, how many people in America would love to have a spouse? How many young ladies, college age and beyond, you know, here in our own church and other churches like of like-minded faith and practice and people that you know, how many young men, college age and beyond, how many middle-aged men and middle-aged women are there who would love to have a spouse? And many who have one can only bicker and gripe and complain about the one they have. She was full. She had a spouse. Do you have a spouse? You're full. That was her testimony. You know, I remember when my mother-in-law passed away very suddenly. A couple years ago now, 2.5 years. Remember when she died very suddenly? It was a shock to us because Joyce had just been there and had even asked the doctor at the hospital that morning, should I stay with my mom? And the doctor said, no, you should go home. Your mom's going home tomorrow. That was on a Wednesday morning, and Joyce drove home. We had the service, and I told you folks that were here on Wednesday night, thank you for praying for my mother-in-law. She's going home tomorrow. And at midnight, they called and said she's gone. It was a shock. I remember the sorrow my father-in-law went through. I remember that sorrow. I remember the story he went through. We got the call about midnight. By the time we got everything together and got the kids called and called Hannah and Abby. Abby was in college. Hannah was living in Elgin. We got a hold of Ben in Madagascar. And by the time we called the family and by the time we got on the road, it was probably 1 o'clock. We probably didn't get there until 4:30, 4:45. And of course, Joyce's sister and her husband were there. And my father-in-law, they were still up. They'd been up through the night. And we walked in. There was many tears and hugs and you know what you go through. Some of you have been through that. And then we stayed up for about another 45 minutes. Everybody was really tired. And so we went to bed. I think Brad and Heidi actually headed back to Burlington. And Joyce and I went to one of the guest rooms. And John went to his room. And I planned to sleep a little while. But I was awakened about, 7:30 by sobbing. He's out in the living room in the recliner. Sobbing. I got out of bed, went out there, and just sat with him. Not long ago, Tim Booth was preaching for Pastor Cranston out there in Burlington. And Tim told me, he said, Terry, he said, I stayed with your father-in-law while I was preaching out there. He said, man, I had a good time. He said, the first night scared me. He said, in the middle of the night, Nellie, sorrow. I remember when Mrs. Gomez went to heaven, and I was part of the pallbearers up there, and Brother Gomez asked me to preach to his church that Sunday. Probably one of the most scary things I've ever done, preached to that church the day after they buried their pastor's wife. And I remember we had the service, went over to Jason and Hannah's for lunch, and my cell phone rang, and I looked at the screen, and it said, Gomez Cell. And so I answered it, and he was this voice. I said, hello. I hadn't expected to hear anything from him. And this crying. Brother Terry, how was the service? He could barely talk. How was the service? How are the people? And I told him, I said, Brother Gomez, they're hurting, they're weeping, but they're in their place with a wonderful service. You had a great crowd, good spirit. He just sobbed and sobbed. Deep sobs. I remember when he came here to preach the ordination. Remember that? He came to preach Brother Bragg, Brother Hall, Justin Leisure, somebody else's ordination. He hadn't gone anywhere other than he'd just gotten back into his pulpit, hadn't gone anywhere to preach, but he came down here to preach the ordination. And after the ordination, went over there and shook hands for a little bit. Then Joyce and myself and Brother Woodward and Cindy and Brother Gomez went to Steak and Shake, and we sat down. I never saw a man so sad in all my life. And just sad, just sorrowful. I told my wife on the way home, I really think he's going to die of a broken heart. Sorrowing. I remember Daryl and Lila Bell, they were farmers out in Iowa. They didn't have any children. Had a good-sized farm. And very frugal people. They'd come to town and they'd bring a sack lunch, and they'd sit in the park in the square with a sack lunch, and they'd eat their lunch rather than going buying a hamburger or Kentucky Fried Chicken. They'd eat their sack lunch sitting in the square. When they died, they left over, I don't know, they had over $1 million. They had a sack lunch. You go to the house, they have 140-watt bulb on. That's all they had on. Cold in the house. They'd be wearing sweaters. The only vice he had was he loved cars, and he drove a big Firebird. He drove a fancy Firebird car. And Lila was 80 or 78, and Daryl was 80. And I remember Lila passed away on a Thursday, and we had her funeral service on Saturday. And Thursday night after she passed away, Brother Brown went to Daryl's place. He had no kids, no relatives. And he said, Daryl, I'm going to spend the night with you tonight. And Brother Brown said that during the night, he was awakened by this wailing. And, oh, Lila, wished I'd have taken you to eat. I'm so sorry. Oh, Lila. And moaned and sorrowed and groaned through the night. Let me ask you, do you have a spouse tonight? You got a spouse? You're full. Whether you know it or not, you're full. Now, fellas, you can knit and you can pick and you can nitpick. You can find something to complain about your wife, and you can get angry and you can fuss and you can be ugly. But I'll tell you something, there are probably 10 to 15 to 20 good things about her for every one thing that's not up to par. And that's the honest truth. You take a little time to think on all the good things about her wife. She puts up with you. That's a huge thing right there in itself. Just that one thing right there. You got a clean house. You got good food. You got your clothes washed. You got your kids cared for. She spends what you give her. She does not overspend. She does without while we go out and get what we need without thinking about it. Yeah, but she pick. Do you have a wife tonight? You're full. You're full. Ladies, do you have a husband? Have a spouse? You can knit and you can pick and you can nitpick. And you can find something to complain about. In fact, with a man, there's probably more than one thing. You can get angry and you can get ugly and you can get cold and offish, but there are probably 10 to 15 to 20 good things about him for every one thing that's not up to par. You're full. I know he works throughout the week. He works long hours, and he's gone. Then he wants to do something at the church for the Lord. So maybe he's gone on Tuesday night or Saturday morning for a couple of 3 hours. And you know, you can puff up. Of course, he could be at the tavern instead. You know, he could be at the casino. He could be at one of those wrongly named places that they call a gentleman's club. But instead, he's out doing something to try to help somebody in some way in his heart, trying to serve the Lord whom he loves. And look, there will always be something undone at the house. It will probably never be perfect. And he'll probably sit and watch a ball game when he could be trimming the hedges. You know, he's probably not up to par in every area. But do you have a husband? You are full. That's what Naomi said. I went out full. Do you have a spouse tonight? You are full. She said that when she went out, she was full. She had a spouse, and she was full with the spouse she had. Why don't you just decide tonight that you're going to look beyond whatever faults, beyond whatever failures, beyond whatever has taken place, and decide, you know what? She is my wife, he is my husband, and I am full. What does it mean to be full? She had a spouse. What does it mean to be full? Well, she had children, number two. She had children. When she went out to Moab with Mahlon and Chilion, she had those two boys. And they both died in the country of Moab. She went out from Bethlehem, Judah, full. She had two boys. You know, kids are expensive. Heaven help us. Kids are expensive. It takes a lot of money to raise up kids in this day and age. Man, they need clothes and they need food. And if there's a boy, they need four times the amount of food that the girls need. And they have school needs and they have needs. They got to go to the dentist and they have to go to the doctor and they need medicine. And they got to have shoes and they go on activities. And it is expensive when you have a kid. It's expensive. Then you raise them up, you send them off to school, and you think, man, thank God that's done. Don't fool yourself yet. Kids are expensive. You know, kid, there are a lot of couples who would love to spend some money on kids' clothes. You know, there's a lot of couples who would love to have to go to the grocery store and buy some extra food. You know, there are a lot of couples who would love to have a kid come home from school with a supply list. Say, I need these things, Dad. You know, there's a lot of couples that would love to book their kid a dentist appointment. They'd love to book their kid a doctor's appointment. They'd love to go shopping for shoes. They'd love for their child to say, Dad, I need $3 for the youth activity. They'd love that. Kids are expensive. You know, kids are a lot of work. Man, they're born into your home and family. You have to do everything in the world for them. We were reminded of that recently when Max and Kyle were at our house for 9 days. 9 days. Lots of clothes to wash. Read the Bible story. Clean them up. Feed them, play with them, teach them, love with them, up with them at night. Oh, now they are sick, and now they close the door on their finger. Now they're crying, and now they are misbehaving, and now they want you to read more to them. And you read, okay, sit down here and let's read a book. And you read, and as soon as you're done with that book, they're off your lap into where the books are, and they don't come back with one, they come back with six. They're not stupid. Come back with 6 books or 8 books, and now it's read me another book. Daddy, can you throw the ball to me? Can you read me another book? They are a lot of work, unless you don't have any. Then there's no work. You know how many parents there are? You know how many adults there are, married couples who would love to have a child say, Daddy, read to me. You have children tonight. You are full. You're full. You understand, friend, every time we announce, like we have several times here in the last two or three weeks. Every time we announce a new man and his wife are expecting a new baby, and we all rejoice and we're all excited and happy for that couple, and we add their name to the Wednesday night prayer list, and boy, there's a lot of joy over that. What was a very short prayer list at the beginning of the year for that section is now becoming quite crowded. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. You understand how much we rejoice in that? But you understand also, friend, that in the hearts of some, when we announce that a couple is having a baby, there is a stab of sorrow and a stab of hurt because they have yet to have that. They've yet to have that joy. I tell you what, don't get around those people and complain about your kids. You can grumble and you can get mad because, you know, you can't go out to eat as often as you would like to because, boy, the school is expensive and the school needs and the clothes and the food and the doctor and the medicine and this, or we're tied down to the house more than we'd like to be. Do you have children? You're full. You're full. Do you have a spouse tonight? You're full. Do you have children tonight? You're full. And actually, you know, we could flip that thing around and talk to you kids for just a minute. Do you have parents tonight? Do you have a parent? You're full. Yeah, but my dad. Yeah, but all you can knit and you can pick and you can nitpick and you know parents aren't perfect and they're going to do things impulsively at times and they're going to regret it, wish they hadn't done that. You can get mad and get fretted at your mom and dad and complain about them if you want to, but I want to tell you something. If you have parents tonight, you're full. You're full. I was having an appointment with one of the young ladies in our school. I hope I won't embarrass her too bad, and I'm sure I won't call the name, but by the story, everybody pretty well knows who I'm talking about. And we were talking about her getting ready to go off to college, and I said, how are you doing financially? Are you okay? And she said, yes. She said, I have money for college. I have my dad's money. And she teared up. And she said, that's where I got my car. My dad's money. And she teared up. And they began to overflow down her cheeks. And I said, that touches your heart, doesn't it? And she said, yes, it does. You see, her dad was killed in an accident at work when she was just a young girl. You know, you can think, boy, I'd like to have my college paid for. I'd like to have a car. I asked that girl, I said, I bet you'd swap all that to have dad. That must be nice to have your college paid for and have a car. Let me tell you what's nicer, having a dad at home. Who didn't die when you were just a baby. You got parents tonight? You're full. You're full. You got a spouse tonight? You're full. You got children tonight? You're full. She said, I went out full. What does it mean to be full? Well, it meant she had a spouse. Number two, she had children. What else did she have? You know what she had, number three? She had a home. She said, the Lord hath brought me home. Do you have a home? Brother, there's no place like home. None. Bethlehem, Judah. Even though there was no bread and barren time and there was a famine and the job market was tight and the finances were a little bit nip and tuck, you know, Bethlehem, Judah was home. And, friend, do you have a home tonight? You know what, friend? You may not like where you live, the geographical setting of your home. You may not enjoy the weather. You may not enjoy the financial situation that you're in, living in your home. The cost of living may be more expensive here than other places where you could go. You may not enjoy your house. The job market here in Illinois may not be what it is in other places, and the taxes are higher and this and so. Is this home? Do you have a home? Let me tell you something, church, with the instability of the job market today, You know, there's an increasing uneasiness that can set in on us. And I'll say this, there are times when God moves a man, but friend, you make sure that it is God who's doing the moving, not your dislike for something that you know as home. Make sure it's not dislike. Make sure it's God's will. And I was thinking about this the other day. We don't choose our dad and mom. We don't choose where we grow up. We don't choose our place of birth. All of that God gives to us. And you know what, people? The grass can look mighty green somewhere else, but I promise you it has to be mowed there as well. I'm not saying that God won't move you. We saw God move the Hallbergs. We saw God move Kevin Miracle. I believe God moved Matt Prather, put him into a decent church down there in the Springfield area. But you make sure it's God that does the moving. And not your dislike, not your uneasiness. And I've lived here all my life, and you know, the weather and the geography. You know what? It's home. It's home. Naomi didn't realize how full she was until she was empty. And when she had no spouse, and when she had no children, and when she came back after being gone 10 years from home, she looked around and she said, I am full, and I want to realize it now. I don't want to spend my time complaining about being full. I've got spouse, I've got children, and I've got home. And according to Naomi, that's what it meant. Be full. Are you full tonight? You've got a spouse. You've got children. You've got a home. Don't take having to lose it all before you realize how full you were. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. God bless our church. Bless our people. Help us, Lord Jesus, to learn and relearn and rehear tonight these very simple truths. God, you've been so good to us. Spouse, children, parents, home. We're full. I pray, dear God, that it won't take getting empty for some people to realize how full they were. Speak to our hearts. Tenderize any hard ground. Thank you for allowing us to be full.